You know, some of our fellow believers, they have to meet in secret, and not all of them even have access to the scriptures. So we have the privilege of meeting together here. So that's something wonderful. Well, as I probably said before, I'm not really a preacher, so I just read the Bible. You know, I think I want to encourage all of you. You know, you don't have to be a preacher like Pastor Joel. He is a real preacher, but you know, everyone can read the Bible. So if you know how to read, just read, go verse by verse, and let the Word of God speak to you. I think that's something that all of us can do. So we'll just look at a few things here today. Remember after Jesus rose from the dead, and the disciples were wondering, what is going on? And so Jesus met up with them, and he said certain interesting things that I think we can also find interesting. In Luke 24, Jesus speaks to the disciples, starting with verse number 23. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." Moses, prophets, scriptures. Sounds quite important. And then continuing later in the same chapter. "This is what I told you while I was with you. Everything must be fulfilled what is written about me in the law of Moses," that's the Torah, "the prophets, and the Psalms." The Psalms. "Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. And he told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all the nations, the Goyim, everywhere around the world, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." Well, Moses, the prophets, even the Psalms are mentioned here. So it must be something quite important. And if you look at your Bible, it seems like the First Testament, you know, the Old Testament, is quite a bit larger than the New Testament. So maybe it's something important for us. So let's look at one of the prophets. Apparently it's a Finnish thing to like the prophets. You know, they were always doom and gloom and all kinds of bad stuff is going to happen. So, yeah, I confess, I'm an ethnic Finn, and I seem to like the prophets. So, since Pastor Jarno gave me an opportunity to speak, then we're going to look at some of the prophets. So we're going to look at Jeremiah. Have you ever heard of a guy named Jeremiah? Yeah, Jeremiah, that's right. Jeremiah chapter 30, let's go. We have a few minutes here, so we'll look at Jeremiah. Jeremiah the prophet. "This is the word of the..." let me start again. "This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord." The word came to Jeremiah from the Lord. And Lord here is, in our English translation, all capitals, L-O-R-D. So that is God's personal name from the Hebrew Bible, YHVH, all consonants. And because there are no vowels, we're not exactly sure how to say God's personal name. So especially the Orthodox Jewish people, they will not even attempt to say God's personal name because they feel that it might be insulting if you don't say it correctly. So usually they will just use the word Adonai, which means Lord. We know about Jeremiah. You know, Jeremiah lived around 500 BC. And he was only a boy when God first appeared to him and said, "You are going to be a prophet, and I'm going to put my words in your mouth." And, you know, it was quite interesting for him. Maybe when you were young, God also appeared to you in some way. Yeah, God may appear to you as a child. Then when Jeremiah was older, God reappeared to him and said, "Remember, I called you to be a prophet." And Jeremiah said, "Oh, no, please. I don't want to be a prophet. It's not a fun job. I don't want to be a prophet." And God said, "No, I have chosen you to be a prophet. You are going to speak everything that I tell you to speak, and I'm going to make you tough as a rock. They're going to be mad at you, but you're going to be stronger than any of them." And then Jeremiah escaped to the desert. He said, "Forget it." Kind of like Jonah, you know, escaping. Maybe in our lives, you know, sometimes we also escape. You know, God appears to us and says, "This is what you should do." And you say, "Oh, no, please send someone else to someone else." And then we escape. So Jeremiah, he escaped. And again, God appeared to him in the desert and said, "I have chosen you to be a prophet. You must speak." And Jeremiah said, "Oh, please, at least give me a friend. At least give me a friend." And so then this man named Baruch, he showed up and said, "I heard you speaking in the temple, and I want to be your friend. And I am a really good writer. I'm a professional writer." So Baruch, maybe he's the guy who wrote most of Jeremiah. I am not sure. But it's good to have a friend. Maybe you are called to be a friend to someone, you know. Maybe you're not called to be a prophet or something, but you're called to be a friend of the prophet. So just be prepared for that. Maybe your writing skills or speaking skills are really good, so you can exercise those skills. All right, let's continue. Verse number 2. What does it say here? "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Write in a book all the words I have spoken to you." Okay, so they have to write something. And we are reading it. Imagine that. All those years ago, these words were written. And of course, they were in Hebrew, but now it's been translated to many other languages, including English. And we are reading the words. That's really astounding. You know, sometimes people say that like antiques are so special because they're old. Well, just think how old the Bible really is. It's kind of like antique. So it's like super valuable because it's super old. Interesting perspective. Okay, let's continue. "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will bring my people Israel and Judah back from captivity and restore them to the land I gave their forefathers to possess, says the Lord." Okay, what happened? Remember? Babylon came and destroyed the temple in Jerusalem and hauled off all the Jewish people, and they all end up in Babylon, including a famous guy named Daniel. You might remember Daniel. He was a really great guy. And so he was also in Babylon. And this is exactly what happened. But God says, "The day will come when I will restore." You know, maybe in our lives also, we have gone through things. It seems like, you know, we have gone to some desert and we have been hauled away to some place which is not pleasant. But God is a God who restores and who renews. So I think we can also hope and pray that the day will come when a restoration will take place in our lives over things that we have lost or we have done some stupid things in the past. God is a God of restoration and renewal. So bring your issues to God. Ask for restoration and renewal. Okay, let's continue. "These are the words the Lord spoke concerning Israel and Judah. This is what the Lord says. Cries of fear are heard, terror, not peace. Ask and see. Can a man bear children? Then why do I see every strong man with his hands on his stomach like a woman in labor? Every face turned deathly pale. How awful that day will be. None will be like it. It will be a time of trouble for Jacob, but he will be saved out of it. Well, I think we can all see that there is plenty of trouble in the world, and sometimes there is trouble in our lives as well. And fear can enter our hearts. And I think even this morning we heard what Pastor Jarno said about fear. We should not fear because God is for us. And here also it is mentioned, trouble for Jacob. We know that there is something called Jacob's trouble, which is talked about in the Bible, which is a reference to the troubles that Israel will go through and has gone through and the Jewish people have gone through. But he will be saved out of it. God will rescue us from every evil attack and will bring us safely to his heavenly kingdom. The day will come. In spite of everything that we might go through, God will save us. Okay, let's continue. In that day declares the Lord Almighty, Lord Almighty, Adonai Tzevaot, Almighty Tzevaot in Hebrew. I will break the yoke off their necks and will tear off their bonds. No longer will foreigners enslave them. So this interesting, this word, this yoke. You know, we're not like yoking around. A yoke is kind of like, you know, when you have the, like the animal, like in the Philippines, they have the carabao. It's a big animal. And so then they put a yoke on it so that you can install like a buggy or something behind it so that it will pull a heavy load. So the Bible also talks about the yoke, you know, don't be yoked together with unbelievers, or you can't yoke together like a big animal and a small animal. It just doesn't work. They can't cooperate together. And there's also the yoke of the Torah, the yoke of the scriptures. Now that's a good yoke that we can all accept and put on ourselves. You know, the Word of God, the Scriptures, is like a yoke that we can wear so that we are directed in the right place. You know, otherwise we can get off on all kinds of strange directions and end up in all kinds of weird places. I think we can't really trust our own ideas and our own emotions and our own opinions that much. I think it's better to trust the Word of God, even if we don't fully understand what it really means and how it applies to us in a certain circumstance, still accept and receive the yoke of the Word of God and take your instruction from the Word of God. I am sure that you will not end up in the wrong place in that case. Okay, we still have a few minutes here. Verse number 8. Instead, they will serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I will raise up for them. David their king, whom I will raise up for them. Oh, wasn't David like 1000 BC? How come now 500 BC David is making an appearance? Is he coming back to life, or what does this scripture mean? I think it's a reference to the Messiah. Remember, Jesus just told the disciples that the Moses and the law and the prophets and the Psalms all indicated and spoke about the Messiah, about him, about Jesus. So I think this is a reference by Jeremiah to say that the Messiah, the Son of David, is coming. Who is the Messiah? I think everyone knows that the Messiah is coming, but not everyone believes that Jesus, Yeshua, was the Messiah. But of course, we believe that Jesus, who lived 2,000 years ago, He came, he died, he was buried, and he rose again. He is the Messiah. So I think Jeremiah here is indicating to us that Jesus is coming, the Son of David. Awesome. So do not fear, O Jacob, my servant. Do not be dismayed, O Israel, declares the Lord. I will surely save you out of a distant place, your descendants from the land of their exile. Jacob will again have peace and security, and no one will make him afraid. I am with you and will save you, declares the Lord, though I completely destroy all the nations among which I scatter you. I will not completely destroy you. I will discipline you, but only with justice. I will not let you go entirely unpunished. There's quite a serious Bible verse here. I will discipline you, but only with justice. I will not let you go entirely unpunished. Jeremiah 10:23-24 is one of my memory verses. It's like a prayer. I know, O Lord, that a man's life is not his own. It is not for man to direct his steps. Correct me, Lord, but only with justice, not in your anger, lest you reduce me to nothing. I think God does discipline us, and we will not completely escape from suffering because of rebellion and dumb things that we have done, but God will rescue us. That is his promise, and someday the day will come when he will bring us to his heavenly kingdom. The great separation will take place. You know, even as believers today, we want to be separated to God, and we want to be separated from the flesh, you know, all our evil desires and our rebellion and our wrong thinking. And we are making progress. We should be making progress. Like Dara Prince says, progress to perfection. It sounds really like a scary thing, perfection. But progress to perfection, a process of sanctification or becoming holy, should be taking place in our lives. And I believe that this process will be completed the day when we draw our last breath. That's when we are completely separated from ourselves, separated from this world, separated from our families, separated from everything. But we're not just going into some empty space. We will be also separated 100% to God. Isn't that a wonderful idea? Separated to God 100%. Never to fail, never to do stupid things, never to go wrong, never to have lack of faith. 100% separated to God. So, brothers and sisters, our time is up. So I just want to again remind you, you don't have to be a preacher. You can just read the Bible, just go one verse at a time, let the Bible speak to you. And if you would like to read the Bible sometimes from up here, I am sure that Pastor Yarna will give you the right time and place to do it, and so you can talk to him about that. Okay, let's say a little prayer before we turn it over back to Pastor Yarno. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. We put on the yoke of your word. And Lord, we thank you that the day will come when you will bring us to your heavenly kingdom. In the meantime, help us, Lord, to live faithfully to you. Help us, Lord, to make progress to perfection, becoming more holy in the way we think and the way we behave, and to accomplish something of value before we enter your heavenly kingdom. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We surrender our lives into your hands. Amen.